Well, hey, here we are. We are in the process of responding to this word that the Lord gave us on our 12-year anniversary, which is that word mining. The Lord is taking this year to unearth things of great value in this church congregation. He's unearthing gifts and anointing and the things that he has placed in each one of us, and then the things he's placed in us corporately as a local church. He's unearthing those things, and we're just stepping into that word and saying yes and amen to it, and God help us. Last week we talked about how grace is the fuel that we need if we're going to grab hold of what Christ has grabbed hold of for us, if we're gonna actually unearth and then walk in those giftings and callings that God has for us, we're not going to do it in our own strength. We need God's grace, and we were reminded that God's grace is God's power. It's his power that saves us, as it says in Titus 2. It's his power that's justified us, that's taken us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, taking us from being orphans to being sons and daughters of the King. And that same power, that same grace that's done that, is now sanctifying us, is helping us take off the old, put on the new, walk in the fullness of who we are now in Christ Jesus. God's grace is that fuel. And so as we're stepping in this year into the gifts, into the calling, into all that God has called us to, we're not doing it in our own strength, in our own smarts, or any of that. We're doing it in God's almighty power. That's how it's happening. I want to bring up this scripture that we looked at last week, Ephesians 4:7. It says, "But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it." And again, I want to go back to this. Are you in each one of us? If you are born again in Christ Jesus, this passage of Scripture is talking to you, is speaking of you, that God's grace has been given to you as Christ has apportioned it. If anybody's going to give you a portion of anything, who do you want to be handing out that portion? Jesus. I want Jesus to be the one cutting the pizza, if you know what I mean, and handing out the different pieces. He knows exactly who needs the bigger piece and who can handle the smaller piece today. God's grace has been apportioned by Christ to each one of us. He's given us the fuel that we need to live for him, for life and for godliness. But this mining, this stepping into who we are in Christ Jesus, to grabbing hold of the gifts and the calling and just the identity even that we have in Christ Jesus, it also requires focus. All right, can you all say it? Say focus. Focus. All right, so we got your focus right now. Y'all are listening, right? Focus. If we're going to be mining, if we're going to be stepping into all that we're called to be in Christ, it requires focus. Let me tell you a little story about focus. So back in the day when they were working on the Alaskan pipeline, there were a lot of job opportunities. It was a big project. And so you had a lot of guys from Texas that decided that they wanted to take advantage of this opportunity because they're paying a lot of good money. And so a lot of Texans went up to Alaska to work on the pipeline. But they quickly discovered something. The native Alaskans and the Eskimos, they could work all day in the cold without stopping. But the Texans, they would get up there, they'd work a couple hours, and they had to go in and get by the heater and warm back up before they got back out there. So they're wondering, what's going on here? These are tough guys from Texas coming up here, and they're like wimping out after a couple hours, you know, running into the heater and all that kind of stuff. What's happening? And so they did a study. And the first thing that they found out is that they thought they were going to find some physiological differences between Native Alaskans or Eskimos and Texans, but they didn't. Their blood was the same. Their skin was the same, right? It was all the same. And so they're still wondering, why is it that the Texans can't handle what the Eskimos can handle? Why can't they work all day long? So they continued the study, and then they got to the psychological part of the study, and they realized the difference. You see, the Eskimos, this is how they looked at their day. They knew that it was cold. They were born in it. They grew up in it, spending every day in it, right? They understood the weather, but they were more focused on the job at hand than on the weather conditions. Where the Texans would come up, and they couldn't get their focus off of the weather, and so their focus on their job was quite lacking. Focus matters. Focus matters. The title of today's message is Keeping the Right Focus. As we unearth things of value, we need to pay attention to our focus. What are you focused on? And even as I'm preaching this message, I want you to be thinking about that. What are you focused on? And allow the Holy Spirit to highlight. Maybe there's something that you shouldn't be focused on that's getting too much of your focus right now in your life. Allow the Holy Spirit to highlight that and start to speak to you about what that might be meaning right now for your life and what you're experiencing, accomplishing, and who you're being right now. So we're going to turn to Numbers chapter 13. We're going to learn from the Israelites and the importance of focus. Numbers chapter 13, beginning in verse 1, the Lord said to Moses, "Send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders." So there were 12 tribes. So there were 12 guys that were sent, right? You've got the 10 plus Joshua and Caleb. They're all just 12 leaders of these 12 tribes. Verse 3, "So at the Lord's command, Moses sent them out from the desert of Paran. All of them were leaders of the Israelites." All 12 leaders. Point number one, stay focused on the promise. Stay focused on the promise. So did you see it? In the first sentence of this story, of this episode, of this chapter of Numbers 13, did you see it? Did you see the promise? Did it jump out at you? Were you reminded of the promise? Did you see it? The Lord told Moses to go and explore the land I am giving you. Go and explore the land I am giving you. The Lord didn't tell his people, go explore the land that might be yours if everything works out all right and if the people aren't too big and it's not too scary and if it's just the right time of year and all everything just aligns perfectly, then it could be yours. No, that's not what the Lord said. He said, go explore the land I am giving to you. After all, it's called the promised land. The land I am giving to you. The promise. Again, point one, stay focused on the promise. Too often I think we miss the promise. Our focus gets distracted from the promises of God. And we jump right into the details. We got God's promise, but all of a sudden, all these details, all this activity, all this stuff swirling all around us, we go right to the weeds of life. I know none of you do that. None of you do that. But your pastor does sometimes. And when we do that, we miss the glorious, powerful, important, and encouraging reminder of God's promise. So what has the Lord promised us? What has the Lord promised you? What has he promised you? Are you living your life? Are you making your decisions? Are you spending your time and your resources based on the promise? Or is your focus turning all of your time, talents, resources, attention, and everything to everything else swirling around you? Are you blowing right by the promises of God and getting into the weeds of life? He's promised us salvation in Christ Jesus. Are you blowing right by that promise getting all concerned and worried and anxious? We just talked about anxiety and being anxious and fearful and everything. Are we blown by the promise that we are secure in Christ Jesus, that we're in his hands, that he has a future for us, and that is a future resurrected with him forever? Are we blown by that promise and living our lives, again, being tossed to and fro by the condition of the world? Are you blown by the promise that you have freedom in Christ Jesus? Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Or are we just diving right back in and just missing that, and our focus is on all this stuff that's just holding us down and dragging us down and keeping us locked up in sin and frustration? The Lord has promised us peace in the storm. Is that your life right now, peace? Or is the focus on the storm? Or is it on the promise of peace? He promised that he'll never leave you. But life is scary and it's hard, and I'm walking into something really unknown right now. Who's gone before you? Who's promised that he's gone before you? Who's promised that he'll never leave you? Who's promised that he's given you all you need for life and godliness? Velvet, she's been struggling with some issues. She even mentioned it this morning, you know, debilitating at times. I'm just grateful that she's up here this morning. Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing. So in the midst of struggles, it's really easy to lose heart and to get discouraged. It's very easy. But let me tell you something about my wife. Velvet has turned her focus onto the eternal promises of God. Very intentionally turned her focus on the eternal promises of God, of what he has in store for her, of his promise of all things in the eternal age, where Velvet will be with him, all things made new, Revelation 21. And as she's focusing on these things, as she's intentionally putting her focus on these eternal things, these promises of God, I am watching her come to life right in front of my eyes. I'm seeing physical changes, strength being restored as she's focusing on these promises of God. Is it just a coincidence? No. It's not. Because our focus matters. Our focus matters. And she's focusing on God and his promises. So, God is a promise-making and a promise-keeping God. He is. Don't forget that. Don't blow by that reality. Don't blow by the promises. Let's go to point number two. Stay focused on the mission. Stay focused on the mission. Let's continue. We're going to jump down to verse 17 in Numbers 13. When Moses sent them, who's that? That's the 12. When he sent those 12 leaders of the 12 tribes to explore Canaan, he said, "Go up through the Negev and on into the hill country. See what the land is like, whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How's the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees in it or not? And do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land." And there's a statement in here. It was a season for the first ripe grapes. Verse 21, so they went up and they explored the land from the desert of Zin as far as Rehob toward Lebo Hamath. They went up through the Negev and came to Hebron, where Ahiman and Sheshai and Talmai and the descendants of Anak lived. Hebron had been built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Verse 23 continues, when they reached the valley of Eshcol, they cut off a branch bearing a single cluster of grapes, and it took two of them, carried it on a pole between them with some pomegranates and figs. That place was called the Valley of Eshcol because the cluster of grapes the Israelites cut off there. At the end of the 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. Now remember, God just reminded them, it's the land that I am giving you, right? So they just got done. 40 days they got to spend in this promised land. The first Israelites there checking it out. What was their mission, though? Was their mission to go into the land, to spy out the land, and then come back and decide whether or not they could or should take the land? No. Not at all. That was not their mission. It was nowhere in the instruction book. It wasn't here at all. God already reminded them of the promise that he'd given them the land. But for these 12 chosen leaders of the 12 tribes, these guys had the privilege of being the first Israelites to step foot in this land. They had the privilege of spending 40 days looking upon all of the bounty and the beauty and the blessing that God had given his people. Their mission was to have eyes to see what God was leading them into, to gain wisdom on how to take the land and best enjoy the promise. Their mission was not, should we do it? Their mission was to gain revelation on how to do it. Not should we do it, but how do we? How will we do it? How will we step into this promise? Do you see the difference? But so often when God calls us to something, we start thinking it's our job now. Okay, I think I'm hearing the Lord. He's calling me to do this. He's calling me to share Jesus with my neighbor. Well, it's my job now to figure out, should I do this or not? What are you talking about? God has said. He said, it's not our job. Now, spying out the land, reminding ourselves who our neighbor is, finding out more about them, getting to know them a little bit. Yeah, that's smart. That's using the wisdom that the Lord has given us. But at the end, the question isn't, well, now should I or shouldn't I do what God has told me and promised me? No. It's how. How. Our job, church, is to gain revelation on how to do it, whatever it is that God's called us to, and then to do it. Gain revelation on how to do it, and then do it. As we unearth things of value, these practical, these spiritual, these ministerial leadership gifts that God has for his church, the Lord's going to highlight what these are. And it's not our job to then determine whether or not we will grab hold of those things and walk in them and use them for God's glory. That's not the question. The question is, how, God? And then we do it. How? We do it. Sometimes it's the worship leader is recovering from illness. How? He just steps in. Ben just steps in. You just do it. And God shows up. God shows up. And then check this out. These 12 guys got to see the promises, the promised land first. What a blessing. And like these 12 guys, God wants us to see his promises. God wants you to taste and see that he is good, to taste and see, just as they saw the promises, the goodness, the blessing of God, and then they tasted of the fruit. It was like the first fruits that they got, and it was big, it was huge. It took two guys to carry one cluster of the grapes, and then the figs and all this kind of stuff. Amazing. God wants us to walk in that kind of reality with him, where we're tasting and seeing that he is good as he is revealing to us his promises and his blessing and his purpose and his calling for us to step into. He doesn't want us to always be in this condition of analyzing and judging. I don't know. Is that big cluster of amazing grapes really from the Lord? Or is that a trick from Satan? Is that goodness of God really from God? Should I grab hold of that goodness of God? That calling of God? I don't know. I better analyze this another 20 years. I mean, we get into that place sometimes. God doesn't want us to miss the joy of His mission and being on mission with Him. So don't lose focus of the mission. And approach it. Have a focus. If you get to go on a mission with Jesus, and it's a mission stepping into His promises, is that something that we should be dragging our feet into? I don't know if I want to do God's work. I don't know if I want to be about His business. I don't know if I want to, you know, oh, come on. We should be excited. God wants us to be excited, just like those 12 should have been excited to taste and see the promises and the blessing. Yeah, there were giants. Yeah, there was all kinds of stuff that was even kind of scary in the midst of it. But they were walking into the promise of God, seeing it and tasting it. Wow. Where's our focus? And that brings us to point number 3. Our focus determines our future. So let's get back to the story. How many of you ever watch, sorry, I guess I got to do this. How many of you ever watch YouTube, like videos and all that? How many of you ever heard of these things called super chats? Where like somebody will do a super chat and whatever, they'll send money or whatever. I just feel like I just got a super chat, okay? Because I preach from my iPad right here, and I just got a text from somebody in the church who's online right now. Great message, Eric, great message, you know, pastor and all. I just feel like I got a super chat. It was very encouraging. Thank you, Stephen. I appreciate it very much. Thank you. You can send the money to, anyway. But anyway, it distracted me a little bit, Stephen. It really did, but it was very encouraging. And it was a perfect time because it was between point 2 and point 3. And so we can pick right up right now. Anyway, sorry about that. I'm human. I get distracted. Ask my wife.
Focus!
My focus needs more focus. Whatever. This is awesome. Point number 3. Come on, focus. Point number 3. Our focus determines our future. Our focus really does determine our future. So we're back to the story here. We're back to this reality that the Israelites experienced. That's related to focus. And we're in verse 26. So they came back to Moses, the 12 spies, right? The 12 leaders of these 12 tribes. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. And they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. This is exciting. We went into the land to which you sent us. And it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But, the people who live there are powerful. And the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites. Ites live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. It scared the Ites out of us. Then Caleb, as they're going on and all this bad news all of a sudden, but we saw all this scary stuff. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, We can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. I mean, these are the guys bringing back this amazing fruit. They're all alive. They all came back with a little bounce in their step because they just eaten of the land of the promises of God, right? And but this is the report they're bringing. The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. That would be a fun message, wouldn't it? We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak came from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And we look the same to them. So, 12 guys. Right? 12 guys. All 12 men, they have the same promise from the Lord. They all heard the same promise. All of us, we got the same promises of God. We read the same promises. All 12 guys heard the same word from the Lord. Go check out the land I am giving to you. This is the promised land. This is where I'm leading you. All 12. All 12 men had the same experience. They saw with their eyes the same things. They tasted with their mouth the same fruit of the land. All 12 guys. Same promise. Same experience, same things they saw, same things that they tasted, right? But 10 men focused on the reasons they could not take hold of what God had promised them. While only 2 of the guys focused on why they could and why they should walk into with confidence and excitement the promises that God had for them. Again, the same thing, 12 guys, same experience, same thing. 10 of them, 2 of them, right? What was the difference? It's focus. It was focus. Only 2 of them kept their focus on God. Kept their focus on what He has said. 10 of them, their focus with their own eyes, their own perception, that was the problem. They stopped looking with eyes of faith, and they were looking with their own eyes. They stopped processing things through the lens of truth. What has God said? And they started processing life through the lens of, this is what I perceive to be true and to be going on. Perception is reality. No, it's not. What God has said is reality. Okay? We start getting it, perception is reality, then, well, my truth is reality, your truth is reality. Anything goes. And next thing you know, oh, the giants, you know. And we forget our focus. Our focus gets hijacked, and we're no longer focused on the promise and on the one who made the promise, God Himself. Just like those Texans working the pipeline in Alaska, there were 10 spies focused on the wrong things, why they couldn't. They were distracted from the mission, distracted from the promise. Now check this out. They were focused on the problems instead of the promise. What are you focused on? Look at your life right now. What are you focused on? What are you thinking about right now? Are you focused on the problems, or are you focused on the promises of God? Are you focused on what you can see, or are you focused on what God has said? And I want you to seriously consider that in every area of your life. Your health, your job, your income, your relationships, your family, your marriage, whatever it might be. What are you focused on? What's driving your thought process? Are you focused on the giants instead of being focused on God? And there are a lot of things that appear to be giants in the land that we live in right now. There are a lot of things that exalt themselves above the knowledge of Christ, that claim to be all that, but aren't. And this is the thing, again, I go back to. These 12 guys were holding the promise in their hand when they came back. Look, here's the fruit of the land. They brought back the promise. They were holding the promise, touching it, seeing it, touching it, tasting it. They were holding the promise, and in the midst of holding the promise, they couldn't even see it. All they could see was all the scary stuff. Ooh. All the problems, all the obstacles, and this wrong focus kept them from walking into the promises of God. It kept a whole generation apart from what God had for them. Their wrong focus kept an entire generation from grabbing hold of what the Lord had grabbed hold of for them and promised them. And they ended up dying in the wilderness. Does our focus matter? Our focus matters greatly. Could it be that we're seeing a whole generation right in front of our eyes, maybe even two generations right now, wandering in the wilderness of life? They don't know who they are. They don't know what their identity is. They're walking in hopelessness. We're seeing suicide rates skyrocketing. Could it be that we're seeing an entire generation wandering and dying in the wilderness because we, the leaders, the ones who have heard the promise and know the promise, are coming back, and instead of declaring the promises of God and standing on the promises of God and standing on the Lord Himself, we're cowering to the giants in the land? Yeah, I think so. I think so. When everybody around you is all like, oh no, the sky's falling and everyone's dying and our nation's falling apart and our hope is in whoever's president or whatever the silliness might be that people are saying, do you just listen to all of that? Kind of nod your head? Or do you say, you know what? Yeah, all that stuff's happening, but that's all the noise of this broken world. You want to know who I'm listening to and who I'm following? I'm following the Lord my God. His report is what I will believe. That's the future I'm walking into. Not whatever this is. Am I concerned about what's going on around me? Yes, I am. Will I step into it and speak into it? Will I serve others and love others? Make myself available? You bet you I will. But my hope isn't in all this stuff. My hope is in Christ alone. Yes, amen. Amen? So, keeping the right focus matters. So seriously, you need to really look at your life. What are you focusing on? What are you focusing on? Well, Fox News is pretty good. It's got the same middle letter, F-O-X, as G-O-D, but it's not the report that you should be listening to necessarily. You should be following the primary report of G-O-D, God Himself. You know what I'm saying? Now, they've got some good ways of looking at some of the craziness going on around us, but that's not the report we believe. That's not the report that we should be running to every day to find out, oh, how's life going? No, this is the report. This is where our focus should be. How's life going? Oh, you know what? Nothing's changed. He's the same. It says the same thing. Awesome! I'm just going to go out there and do the same thing, and that's bring God's kingdom and share the gospel with others. So, will our focus be on all the reasons why we can't? Why now isn't a good time? You know, once I make a little more money, I get a little more established in my career, once I retire, once I get this, then it's time. That's a bunch of hogwash, by the way. Now is the time. You're not promised tomorrow. The Lord has said that. Today is the day of salvation. Right now. Right now. But all these other situations going on, it just doesn't seem like the right timing. Who's saying that? Why isn't it the right timing? Anyway, but I might fail, but it might not work out. Where's your focus? Where's your focus? Where's your trust? Where's your hope? And who is it that we're serving? The Lord or our own reputation? 10 focused on the problem. 2, Caleb and Joshua focused on the promise. Will you be one of the 10 or one of the 2? Heard somebody say recently, isn't it interesting? In fact, let me just ask this question. This was fascinating when I heard this just a week or two ago. How many of you know the names of the other 10 guys? You can just recite the names of the 10 guys that went in there with. How many of you know the two that came back with a positive report that said, let's go? You know their names, right? Joshua and Caleb. Pastor Phil and Angie's, you know, boys' names. Anyway, that's how I remember. No, but Joshua and Caleb, we know their names. We remember their names. I think there's something to that. There really is. You know, even Jesus paid attention to focus. If you think Jesus needed to pay attention to focus, don't you think that we need to pay attention to focus? You know, if Jesus hadn't focused on doing the will of his Father, he too could have been very easily overcome by all the needy and all the needs and all the people coming at him for help and healing and knowledge and understanding and saving. Overcome by all the activity around him. But Christ, instead of a frenzied activity, Christ personified the focused life. Jesus did. It says in John 8:29, he who sent me, this is Jesus speaking. It's how he processes life. He who sent me is with me. That's a good focus to always have. He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. Where was the focus of Christ? It was on the Father. It was on the Father. It was on the Father. He didn't have to worry, did I see the right thing today? Did I perceive the right thing today? His focus was on the Father. And he did what the Father told him to do. The focused life right there. So as we mine and as we're unearthing these things of value that the Lord's placed in us individually and corporately as a church family, as we determine to step into God's calling that he has on our lives, we need to pay attention to our focus. We need to maintain our focus on the Lord and our focus on what he's promised, on what he has said. It says, Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In other words, keep your focus on the Lord. Keep your focus on the Lord. And what happens? All the other things that want to grab our attention and pull our focus away, they will all work out for God's glory. Because our focus was on his kingdom, his righteousness. Our focus was on God himself. Let's stand up.